You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Tuesday, the 11th of October, 2022, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I thought we would take a closer look at the universities that are decolonising the curriculum, the particular curriculi that they are decolonising, and we'll also take a look at the government's new bill to protect free speech, which does actually look surprisingly good. So we'll start with this investigation into the decolonisation campaign. Universities are decolonising their business, chemistry and even thermodynamics courses to mollify woke activists, a Daily Mail investigation shows. And that's quite incredible, really, isn't it? Because what decolonising means is removing white people or removing influence from white people and replacing that with black people, non-white people, and in the cases of business, chemistry and thermodynamics, all of those were invented by white people, weren't they? If you think about it, I guess you could say the Chinese have been involved in business, but to actually have business as a subject to study, that's a white idea. Education is a white idea. Chemistry was invented as a subsection of science by white people. It was white people that invented science. And of course, thermodynamics as well, invented by white people. So they now want to remove white people from the disciplines that white people created. And this is, of course, political. I mean, what does politics have to do with business, chemistry or thermodynamics? It doesn't have anything to do with it. This is a left-wing ideology that is trying to take over everything, take over every part of education. The move is just one of a number of ways in which academics are imposing left-wing ideology on the curriculum. And people wonder why it is that the whole of society is moving towards the left. And it's because the left have hijacked all the centres of higher learning and they indoctrinate the students with these ideas. And the students are unable to even get into the university if they don't do these courses. I mean, we had a Daily Nationalist episode a while back that did an expose on American universities. And you cannot even get into the university unless you can demonstrate that you have taken part in anti-racism or anti-fascist activism. And that goes for the students as well as the lecturers. They all have to show that they uphold this doctrine and they've actually taken part in trying to force it on everybody else. A government minister accused them last night of wasting valuable time on distractions. And of course, that's it, because if you're going to be studying something like chemistry, it's a very difficult discipline. And you need to be spending all your time learning about chemistry, learning about things that are definite. What chemical to mix with another chemical at exactly the right proportions, at exactly the right temperature, and what that makes. I mean, there's no room there for error. What does that have to do with decolonizing it? What does that have to do with talking about slavery? Because that's another side of this. They try to link all of these disciplines to slavery and to explain why it is that white people have all these disciplines and all this understanding of the world and why these other people don't. And they'll say, well, that's because we enslaved these other peoples and we were mean to them. And that's why they didn't develop these things. And now we should be concentrating on doing everything for them rather than doing what's best for us. And of course, if we're not doing what's best for us, nobody else is going to do what's best for us. The Mail audit reveals that course materials show that decolonising the curriculum is a response to Black Lives Matter. So they're admitting that the reason why they are changing the whole curriculum and preventing it from discussing the subject it's supposed to be discussing and tying it back to racist policies against black people is because of a left-wing pressure group. It's because of Black Lives Matter, which came about because of the high number of black criminals that end up getting shot by American police when they resist arrest. And it is always because they are resisting arrest. And we don't have that many black people that end up getting killed by the police over here in Britain because we don't have armed police. But they still try to resist arrest. And yet, because of this American movement, this American left-wing movement, the curriculum in universities is being changed. Oxbridge colleges have laid on more unconscious bias and race workshops for students. And these unconscious bias and race workshops for students, they've even been condemned by the British government. Oxbridge colleges have imposed more unconscious bias and race workshops on freshers, despite calls for them to be scrapped. The courses had been optional, but increasingly students are being ordered to take part. And this is the thing with these courses, this promotion of diversity. If you don't take part in it, then you don't get into the university. Freshers at Keble College had to undertake hours of courses on consent, race, LGBTQ+, and disability. According to a 2022 timetable seen by the Daily Mail, they were told it was very important that they attend. And how many people in society are disabled? How many people are LGBTQ? I mean, you'd imagine that they might be interested in these courses. Why should everybody else have to go to them? Emmanuel College, Cambridge also ran a 2.5-hour unconscious bias workshop that all freshers were required to take part in. Christchurch, Oxford's grandest college, said it runs compulsory sessions for all students, covering topics including diversity, respect, and anti-racism, and staff involved in, for example, admissions and recruitment receive appropriate training. So what they're doing there is they're telling people that they should be putting black people's interests first, because black people are marginalised. So if you've got a black person that is applying for the job and he has lower qualifications, they should give the job to the black guy anyway, because they're marginalised. And the reason why he doesn't have such good qualifications is probably because of racism. So they're effectively telling people that instead of putting their own people's interests first, they need to be putting black people's interests first. That's what diversity training is. Chris McGovern of the Campaign for Real Education said freshers do need to understand the laws that protect our society, but indoctrinating them with woke ideology is dangerous and irresponsible. If there are to be workshops for new students, they should explain why much of the rest of the world does not share this creed. Young people need to be prepared for the world beyond their university campus. So he's taken a very balanced view there. He's saying, well, okay, if you want to indoctrinate people with this, fair enough, but you also have to explain the other viewpoint and point out that everybody else does not agree with this, and they don't agree with it for good reasons, good logical reasons. Students at Somerville Margaret Thatcher's former college were last year ordered to pass a test in which they had to concede that a black lecturer would be more unpopular than white colleagues. Following an outcry, the college said students would no longer be compelled to take the course. So that is basically saying, well, there is institutional racism, everybody is racist, and if it was a black lecturer, automatically people would not think he was very good. And that's not the truth, is it? The very fact that we have these courses that are going on show that people are desperate to not be racist. They're desperate to make black people more popular than they actually are. I mean, if this black lecturer gave a really good lecture, I'm sure he would be extremely popular. If he didn't give such a good lecture, he wouldn't be that popular. And maybe they're saying this due to statistics, but there could be another reason for these statistics. Black people on average have a much lower IQ than white people. And if you have someone with a lower IQ that's been given their position as lecturer because they're an anti-racist or because of our diversity quota, then their lecture isn't going to be quite as good as somebody who was given the position because of merit, because they were a good lecturer. That would be more likely to be the reason why the black lecturer wasn't so popular. But what they're saying here is the black lich would automatically be more unpopular than white colleagues because of race. Balliol College, the alma mater of Boris Johnson, Ted Heath and Harold Macmillan has said it was expanding the mandatory programme of unconscious bias and tackling race bias training to include all academic staff. So they're saying that even people who are doing their best not to be racist, they are still unconsciously racist. Well, of course, people are unconsciously going to do what is best for their people. Unconsciously, they are going to feel most comfortable and most at home with members of their extended family, just the same as they feel more comfortable and more at home with their own family. And this gets now that gets translated into, well, it must be racism. That's what these people have. This unconscious bias that they have. It has been described as ideological snake oil by the Free Speech Union, while the Race Commission last year called for institutions to ditch the practice. So the government who called for this race commission that found that there was no institutional racism, they have said that these practices need to stop. The Commission's report said the soul-searching of some organisations in the wake of Black Lives Matter had amounted to tick-box exercises that did not get results, and the money would better be spent elsewhere. And of course, it's just indoctrinating people with these left-wing ideas. And this is Oxbridge College that is laying on more and more of these unconscious bias and race workshops. Debating societies have introduced tougher vetting for controversial speakers. Of course, what they mean by controversial speakers is just speakers that are centre or centre-right. There is no chance that you would hear an ethno-nationalist speaking at these universities. I mean, the time when Tommy Robinson spoke to Oxford is long gone. I mean, that was years ago. I mean, just somebody that says that there are only two genders, there are only two sexes, is going to run the risk of being deplatformed at these universities now. Some academics are even demanding the dismantling of the establishment. So that's just basic Bolshevism, isn't it? Just pull everything apart because it is all racist. And they don't have any ideas of what they're going to put in the place of the establishment. Of course, I will be critical of the establishment and members of the establishment, but I'm certainly not calling for the breaking down the existing order that we have. I think we raise up people of bad character to the top, and that is a part of our system, and our system needs changing. But to get rid of the actual establishment, that would be very wrong. The investigation uncovers how fat cat university bosses are pandering to extremists, according to John Hayes, the chairman of the Common Sense Group of Tory MPs. And it's not just these university bosses, is it? I mean, the owners of these big corporations are pushing these ideas as well. And that comes down from Blackwater, who own a lot of these corporations or have an influence on these corporations. And I think his name is Larry Fink, something Fink, I think. And he has extreme progressive left-wing views. And if these corporations promote them, and then because they promoted them, their sales go down, he helps them out. He's not worried about whether the corporation makes a profit or not. What he's interested in is promoting these progressive left-wing ideas. John Hayes said universities had fallen a long way from the places of light, liberty, and learning described by the theologian John Henry Newman in 1852. Sir John added, instead, a darkness has fallen over much of our university sector. Far from promoting liberty and learning, universities are choosing to inhibit free speech and distort learning. Opinions that do not conform to the politically correct zeitgeist are prohibited. And that's great that we actually have this MP that is pointing this out. And it does look, as I said, as if they have some an actual decent solution to this problem with this free speech bill that we'll get into in a minute. Skills Minister Andrea Jenkins warned universities should be focused on delivering high-quality face-to-face teaching, which offers students value for money and sets them up for future success, not wasting time on initiatives that distract from these ambitions. That's the other side to it. People are paying out all this money in order to be educated in a particular discipline, and instead of being educated in this discipline, they're just being indoctrinated in this idea that white people are evil and they are responsible for all the differences in life outcomes between the different ethnic groups. Universities have focused on tackling Britain's colonial past in the humanities, particularly history and English. So you're now going to read books about slavery in English, and in history, you're going to learn about things from the black person's point of view, and you're going to learn that the reason why black people didn't have very much of a history, didn't have very much history of learning or civilization, is because white people enslaved them all. Not because they're actually a different people group to us, and why would you expect them to have the same standards and the same things that we do? Why would you expect that? You know, they look different to us because they are different to us, and they do things in a different way. And that is what is so wonderful about the diversity of humanity. We have all these different people groups that do things in a different way, that they have different things that they're good at, different things that they're not so good at. And yet we say everybody is actually all the same. And it's just environment that is responsible for whether somebody has a civilization or not. And it must be because the white people have kept down the blacks. That's why they don't have a civilization. Well, the truth of the matter is, they're just a different people group. So why would you expect them to have the same things as another people group? Academics are now going to great lengths to remove white privilege from scientific and mathematical subjects. Again, these are subjects that cannot be changed. 2 + 2 always equals 4. And yet what they're saying here is, oh no, that's white privilege to say that, because it's white people that came up with mathematics. Therefore, it's white privilege to teach people mathematics. Why shouldn't 2 + 2 = 5? Isn't this a wonderful way of challenging the establishment? That's what we should be doing, isn't it? Challenging the establishment. So they're now removing so-called white privilege from everything. The head of mechanical engineering at Sheffield University has admitted he struggled to work out how decolonisation was relevant to thermodynamics, which is mostly equations, systems and control volumes. But after receiving 2 emails from Black Lives Matter, Stephen Beck concluded that the issue of energy was a far more political context and historically driven subject. So he's been brainwashed into, instead of concentrating on equations, to be talking about politics, left-wing politics, left-wing political ideas. In a blog, Professor Beck said engineers could take into account whether greener air travel was beneficial to locals, adding the history of holiday destinations is often one of their colonial past. What does holiday destinations have to do with thermodynamics? What does colonialism have to do with it? I guess they say that the only reason why we have this these thermodynamics is because white people had slavery, so they didn't have to work, so they devoted time to philosophy and studying things, and they came up with thermodynamics. Well, black people could have always done the same, couldn't they? They had a whole continent to themselves. If they hadn't sold one another as slaves, they could have spent time on this. And what about the ones that did own slaves? Why didn't they come up with the thermodynamics? Of course, they didn't come up with it because they're a different people group, not because white people used their labour on farms. In another example, a senior lecturer in dentistry at Newcastle University told a podcast she had decolonised her course following campaigning by students in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement. Again, what is the police ending up shooting black criminals who are resisting arrest have to do with dentistry? It's just being used as an excuse to push all these left-wing ideas. Frank Faridi, Emeritus Professor of Sociology at Kent University, said, "There is a constant expansion in the ambitions of these kinds of academic activists. It is unrestrained and it is popping up in the most unlikely places. There is no discussion, no debate." Yes, you'll be deplatformed if you say these ideas are wrong, and that Britain actually did away with slavery and that the British Empire was not built on slavery. The whole idea behind it was to raise these other peoples up, help these other peoples so that eventually they could run their own countries and they could join the rest of civilization. That was the point of the British Empire. It wasn't about enslaving people. There may have been people that behaved badly. There may have been people in it that were just in it for the money. But the majority of the people were good people. White people are good people, particularly the British. I mean, this is why we have all these ideas of anti-racism. This is why we go along with Black Lives Matter, because people are trying to do the right thing. It's just that this is not the right thing because it is harmful to our people group. It might benefit these other people groups, but they're already doing what's best for their people group. And that is what everybody should be doing, to con us into thinking we should be doing everything for another people group, is self-harm, basically. It's maladaptive. Edinburgh University hosted a lecture in March titled "Decolonizing the Physics Curriculum, Starting with Thermodynamics, What, Why and How." And physics professor Wilson Poon decided the first lecture of the course on classical thermodynamics should start with the history of the subject, showing how its origins were deeply implicated in imperialism and slavery. So it's not just talking about the objective subject of thermodynamics, but they're going to bring in this subjective version of history, not told from the white man's point of view, which doesn't have anything to do with thermodynamics. Cambridge and York have established working groups on decolonising geography and chemistry. York's chemistry department said that alongside its teaching of key chemical principles, it will now also teach diverse histories of chemistry and science, showing influences of global thinkers, providing students with a degree of literacy in science history, and include role model scientists from different backgrounds and cultures to foster a sense of belonging for all in taught material, even though these other groups had nothing to do with geography and chemistry and coming out with these ideas. I mean, you could say the Chinese might have had some ideas about geography and chemistry, but you couldn't say that sub-Saharan Africans did. I mean, you couldn't really say that Muslims did. I mean, Muslims did understand a bit of chemistry, but that was really because they took over the Byzantine Empire, and it was the Greeks that had already come out with all these ideas. And then the Muslims had them. But if you go back to the origins of all of this, it all goes back to the classical world in antiquity. And the classical world of antiquity was white. A module description by Exeter University on decolonising medicine tells undergraduates they will investigate the extent to which science and medicine have been largely founded on colonialism, oppression, slavery, discrimination and injustice. So not learning about medicine at all, just being indoctrinated with left-wing ideas that make the white man out to be the bad guy. The white man who invented modern medicine in the first place. Tom Hunt, Tory MP and Commons Education Committee member, said that if mainstream views were not challenged at universities, it would have a chilling effect on free speech. And that's the whole point of university, is to have your views challenged, so you can see the weak points and you can find out information to counteract those weak points. Or if you can't counteract those weak points, then you should take on your opponent's point of view. But if you don't actually have your arguments ever criticized, how are you going to know that your arguments are correct? How are you going to stand up in the world when you come across all these other views which show that your views are in fact false? And of course, this is what these students don't like. That's why they call for people to be completely deplatformed, because they cannot stand to think that other people have a different opinion to them. In an article for Times Higher Education, Professor Bobby Banerjee of the Bayes Business School at City University of London admits that decolonising the curriculum is a political project and is a complex, difficult and perhaps impossible task. So they're admitting it's all politics. What does politics have to do with learning disciplines at university? It has nothing to do with it. These disciplines should be apolitical. They should have nothing to do with politics. They should just be completely objective. And what they're saying is, instead of being objective, now they have to be subjective. They have to all be directed at making black and non-white people feel as if they have contributed to this, even if they have not contributed to it at all in history. A brief on decolonising the curriculum for first year business studies undergraduates at Bayes, written by Professor of Information Management Clive Holtham, said the business school expected that all curricula and modules will be redesigned, and that radical change often can only be brought about by some kind of revolution. So they're admitting that this is a revolution in education, where instead of studying the discipline that you're supposed to be studying, you end up studying all these anti-white ideologies and all these alternative reasons for why there are these differences between groups. I mean, I should imagine they probably bring up the fact that there are more black people in prison than their pop their percentage of the population for violent crimes, and they'll say, well, this is all because of racism. It's not. It's because black people are more likely to carry out violent crimes, and black people are more likely to be the victims of these crimes as well. It's not like they just carry out these crimes. They're a crime-prone race. There are more victims amongst them. They suffer from this as well as everyone else, and they would really be the ones best placed to deal with it if we lived separately. If we had separate groups that lived in homogenous societies, everything would be better all round. But when we had that, of course, black people didn't develop civilization. They didn't develop thermodynamics. They didn't develop chemistry. They developed along a different pathway to the pathway that Europeans developed at. And that's the reason why we don't have black people in the history of thermodynamics. So because of that, to excuse that, now they're going to make thermodynamics all about slavery and devote a certain period of the course to indoctrinating the pupils with these anti-white ideas. Successive ministers have called on universities to allow a range of viewpoints, including those from more right-wing students. Former Education Secretary Nadeem Zahawi criticised some decolonising efforts because they led to a reduction of other core content. And some students tried to cancel Nadeem Zahawi, I believe. He went to one university, and because he had said something before about there only being two genders, he was intimidated, basically, and he had to have security escort him off to his car to prevent him from being attacked by these students. The government has also created the new Higher Education Freedom of Speech Bill, which strengthens freedom of expression rules in universities. Now, surprisingly, this Freedom of Speech Bill does actually sound like it is quite good. I don't think we're really going to have time to look at it now. We'll have to get into this tomorrow, I think. But the bill has actually been read before Parliament twice, and it is now standing before the House of Lords. And effectively what it does is it says that if anybody is deplatformed by a university, they're not able to speak at the university, and they are speaking within the law, then the university can be sued, and the universities have to take steps to promote freedom of speech. And it has to be written into everything that the university, that's the highest ideal for the university, is to allow freedom of speech. And this is good. This will strengthen things. And it's the mainstream media that are shouting about this and saying how awful it will be, and that Holocaust deniers will be able to speak at university. And so long as Holocaust denial is within the law, why should they not be allowed to speak at university? And you could have a Holocaust believer there as well, giving a lecture on the Holocaust, and then you could have a Holocaust denier giving a lecture on Holocaust denial or historical revisionism, as the better terminology is for it, and then you could have the two of them debate, couldn't you? And you could see who wins the debate. What would be wrong with that? So long as it's within the law, of course. So this Freedom of Speech Bill would hopefully protect freedom of speech, and I can't really see that there is any drawbacks to it. And in actual fact, the government have refused to confirm that Holocaust denial would be excluded from this. And of course, I mean, using the term Holocaust denial, it's a very emotive term. But what it essentially is just historical revisionism. It's looking at World War II, looking at what happened in World War II, and questioning, when you come across information that contradicts the common narrative, asking why that is, and looking at it and examining the common narrative to see whether the common narrative is actually true. And we should do that with everything. Everything we are told by the establishment, everything we're told about history, we should look at it and think, is this true? Is this likely to be true? Does this conform with the way that people are? I mean, I think slavery should be looked at that. I really do. We should look at it and we should think, is it really believable that white people abused black people? Is it really believable that they used whips and they to force them to work, and they beat them up, and they raped them, and they misused them, and they starved them to death, and it didn't matter because they could just get another black person in to do the work, and they would just work their slaves to death? That's just not believable, is it? That's not the way white people are. White people are extremely charitable. When we have somebody that lives closely with our family, we tend to be very friendly to them. We tend to treat them as one of the family. And when you look at the original source documents from the time, that's what you find. You find that the white people looked upon their slaves as an extension of their family. They said that these people belong to us. They're not hired servants. They belong to us. They're far more important to us than a hired servant. A hired servant, once he's finished with his hire, you forget about him. But with a slave that belongs to you, he's yours for life, and you have to look after him for life. And they got very close to them. Of course, the narrative today is the complete opposite of that. White people just work these black people into the ground because they hated the colour of their skin, and that is just not true. So whatever we're told, we have to examine it and see whether it's truthful. And that's what university is about. It's about examining everything, particularly in the particular subject that you're studying, examining everything about it, finding everything that you can about it. And if it's a philosophical subject, finding out the arguments for and the arguments against. And why should the Second World War be any different to that? Why shouldn't people look at the Second World War, look at the evidence for what happened, and discuss it? Because the countries that have Holocaust denial, you're not allowed to discuss these things. You're not allowed to discuss any evidence that contradicts the findings of the Nuremberg trials. And of course, we know that the Nuremberg trials, the people that were giving evidence, they had been tortured. We know that they were held under different rules than normal trials. The defendants were not allowed to enter in any evidence for their defense. All the evidence that they were allowed to use had been given to them by the prosecution, and the normal rules regarding hearsay were not applied. So these are the sort of things that need to be talked about. So to ban investigation of World War II is effectively what these Holocaust denial laws have done. So complaining that this free speech bill might allow quote-unquote Holocaust denial in universities, well, surely you should be able to investigate history. There shouldn't be any subjects in history that are out of bounds. And it does look as if this freedom of speech bill would allow universities to have historical revisionists there. And they should be there because they want to have their views challenged. They're academics just the same as the other people at the university are academics. And they want to have their beliefs challenged. They want to have a robust debate. And that is what university should be about. So I think tomorrow we'll take a closer look at this freedom of speech bill, and we'll leave this investigation into decolonizing the curriculum here for now. Thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with more of the Daily Nationalist for you. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.